Hi, everybody, and welcome to El Valle Bajo podcast. It is April 19th, 2021, coming here from Socorro, Texas. We got Rene Rodriguez with us today. How are you doing, Rene?
Good.
Early voting started today, so if you want to complain, if you want to get upset, then you need to go vote so you can have that right. If not, then it is what it is, and se acabó. Today, we're having a special podcast on our District 5. We all, some of us live in District 5. We know that Pablo Barrera is running against Gary Gandara. And we're just going to make a case today about what led up to making a podcast, what led up to being here, what led up to now. And to be very honest with you, you know, I found this quote, today it says, power concedes nothing without demand. So to me, it means those who have power are not going to listen to you if you don't have demands and action. So this is where we are today. This is where we are now. And as residents of the city of Socorro, this is what we need to do to make people in power listen to us. So today we're going to start with what happens in February of last year. I remember this because we were planning a town hall at my home. I don't know if you remember that, Rene. We're planning a town hall here to talk about that and why we were having Buoy 2.0 in the valley. And we know why Buoy had theirs. We know why Buoy and Socorro get shafted because they don't have a lot of say in what they do, or there's not a lot of people that speak up. And we wanted to make sure that that would happen. So I want to show this video first from Channel 9 and see where we go from there. Hold on, guys.
Of the Socorro Independent School District addressing an audit claiming more than two dozen students who graduated last year did not have the credits to do so. I'm Natasha Paloma.
I'm Daniel Marin. The district says it is taking full responsibility. KTSF9 News reporter Tatiana Favela is live from Socorro High School.
This is the audit that we're talking about, and it actually explains how 21 of 29 students at the center of this incident attended Socorro High School.
It's to make sure that every single student that walks that stage at the Don Haskins Center has met the graduation requirements, done everything possible, and it's just unfortunate.
SISD Superintendent Jose Espinosa addressing the recent error of a district audit revealing 29 students who graduated last year didn't have the credits to walk. Originally, the audit says 276 students did not have the proper documentation to graduate, but many were eventually cleared by auditors. During Monday's school board meeting, SISD.
Whoops. Okay, so right there, Rene, we have Socorro is taking responsibility, but that happened in February 2019. We haven't heard anything of it since. Let me tell you, the pandemic saved a lot of people's butts. I've never heard our District 5 rep take any responsibility. Not, he doesn't have to take responsibility, but there hasn't been anything to remedy the case. And the principal took off just weeks after that. What do you think? What do you think about that? And 21 of the 29 are from Socorro. That's what happens. That's kind of one of the things that I get sad about. Why wasn't there more fire from our school board? And because everything's hunky-dory, peachy king, we've been together for 11 years. Let's not move the cheese. Let's keep it the way it is. What do you think?
I think it's horrible. No kid should be left behind. I do think that should be the goal.
Right.
Fortunately, you know, the majority, the bulk of it, of these students that were cheated out of a good education were from the south side of I-10, and therefore, you know, they're expendable. I mean, it happens to us all the time. You know, the poor get shafted. It's not only here, but it's across the country. Exactly. You know, we hear that all the time. The poor, the disadvantaged, always get left behind first.
Yes.
And it's the saddest thing. But I want people to understand that the reason why they get shafted, it's because, and I'm going to say this to all of the poor and disadvantaged children, parents, it's their fault. Not their students, not their children. Oh, no. It's their parents' fault for not coming out and voicing and you asking for the best education. If you can get the best education on another part of your district, it should be across the board. And unfortunately, it happens because, you know, as well as I know, that nobody here in Socorro really voices their concerns.
And you're right.
There's not a loud voice.
And there isn't a loud voice. I believe I like to think we are a loud voice. Yes. And that's where we want to make sure that we put this in order. And this started, I guess the podcast really started in February of 2019, where we're like, hey, what is this about? Why is there so many students? And yeah, the thing is, somebody told me it's SISD took full responsibility, but what did they do? Where are those students? Oh, what happened here? But the thing is that going back, they're going to find more students. And the thing is, the large quantity, 95% of those students are from Socorro. Why? Because administration thinks they can cut corners with kids from the Lower Valley, just like we had the podcast last week. Those are things that we got to say, hey, that's not good. Now, we have, you know, let's finish this video real quick. I know it stopped in the middle of it. I apologize. But let's finish the video, see what it says, and see where it takes us.
The incident was reported to the TEA.
We also self-reported the less than 1%, the 0.18, we self-reported those errors.
So Dr. Espinosa is talking about less than 1%, but that he's making it clear it's less than 1%. One is too many. One student, because you earn $500,000 a year, you it doesn't bother you because that doesn't, you don't carry that at night. But some parent or a student is having to get a GED because he spent 4 years completing that and that didn't happen. I'm going to go back to this and finish this off.
The auditor didn't clear to TEA, and we're told from TEA to document our findings and corrective action plan.
As for the loss of credit, the district says it's working with each individual student involved. Life happens at home.
Life happens. De toda madre, life happens.
To stay for hours to complete their hours. Well, they don't have a home.
So I'm going to be very honest with you. As a teacher, you can't say life happens. As a business owner, you can't say life happens. You need to turn in product. And this really upsets me, Ms. Croce, because she's saying life happens. But I promise you, if a kid fails STAR, oh, they're coming down on you. But an administrative error, life happens. Rene, as a businessman, if you don't turn in a product and you tell the person that gave you that business, life happens, sir, what's going to happen?
You ain't going to be working for long.
Mm-mm. That's what we're having here. Life happens. If you're an educator, when your boss, when your principal, assistant principal comes in and gives you a bad review, you tell them life happens. That's where we're at right now. But administrators get a pass. Administrators, SISD, get a pass. She's smiling. Hey, life happens.
And they're not able to do that. So we have attendance committees that look at all of that so that they can make a decision on what can be approved.
Espinosa says he wants to add an additional counselor and credit clerk to all campuses.
We got to make sure that, that doesn't happen again, because we don't want a student or the parent of that student to feel.
To the best of my knowledge, nothing has been added at Socorro High School. So it is what it is. Or any other school.
That, wow, my student was cheated. We want that. We want to ensure them that your child is walking that stage because he or she earned it.
And the district says parents of the children who were missing credits at the time of graduation have been informed about having to have the student complete the pending courses. Live in the Lower Valley, Tatiana Favela, KTSM 9 News.
So, Drenet, this is where we start.
Are you having trouble dealing with emotions related to the COVID-19 pandemic? You are not alone. Free confidential counseling support is a...
Sorry about that. Yeah. This is where we start. February 2019. It's the first thing, and we're planning a town hall. You know, we're planning something to do. We're like... And guess what hits? Coronavirus. Coronavirus hits, and then we go out and do everything we that happens. We go out here, we go there. We're here now. The 29 students are forgotten about. They're forgotten about. Never does a... somebody come and advocate for these kids. We're trying to advocate for these kids. We're trying to do something. And it is what it is. But coronavirus hits. Now, we fast forward to September. We fast forward to September, and we're talking about the kids in the valley again. We're talking about kids in the valley again. And I'm going to show you something else. This is from KFOX. September 3rd, 2020. Renee, if you can remember, what is September 3rd, 2020? It's still, what do you think? What jogs your memory about that time, September 3rd, 2020? It's only, what, 6 months into it, coronavirus, but Socorro is ready to go back to work. Socorro's ready to take back our kids. What do you remember from that time?
The laptop issue.
The laptop issue. You're absolutely correct, sir. Good for you. So, okay, let's check this out.
Hey, Glashine Bias and Enderman.
Oh, I got to listen to Glashine Bias. So, it's a laptop issue. We talk about, we start the fight. We start the war. That's where we're like, wait, why are you going to send our kids back now? Why are you going to do this now? Why? What in the world? We're in the pandemic. We're at the height. So let's show you this.
Local school districts will start bringing students back to the classroom for the first time since March.
KFOX 14 News and I's Keenan Willer joins us live from Far East El Paso to show us the changes the Socorro Independent School District is putting into place in its classrooms to keep students safe.
Next week, some SISD students are set for a back to school like they've never experienced before, as the district works to bring students back into the building while keeping COVID-19 out.
It's going to be teaching them as they return.
On Tuesday, the Socorro Independent School District begins phase one of its plan to bring students back for in-person learning, starting with students who don't have internet access or have had issues learning remotely. Today, KFOX 14 went inside one of SISD schools for the first time in months to see how the district is preparing for students' return to campus.
As they arrive to school, the morning process has been changed. and it's different for the different levels.
Students arriving to Lujan Chavez Elementary School on Tuesday will line up out front, standing on stickers placed 6 feet apart. Once inside and with their masks on, they'll pass in front of a machine to take their temperature. But the district will take an online look at students' health too.
The district has created an electronic app specific for our district. It's a wellness check that we all take, even as employees, we have started using it ourselves.
Each day, students will have to open the district's new eSwipe app and report how they're feeling and whether they may have had contact with someone with COVID-19. Once the check-in process is done, students will make their way to the classrooms, which are undergoing their own changes.
Barriers have been purchased for the classrooms for the students, those desktop barriers where we're going to have some kind of little partition that's going to help in the classroom with the separation.
These desks already have designated boxes students will have to stay in, and tomorrow they'll be fitted with plastic dividers too. The district says the new rules will be a learning process, especially for students whose families may not be following social distancing at home.
6 months, students have been home dealing with the pandemic as a family, correct? And so they're going to come in with different levels of awareness too, depending on the situation that they've had in their family.
But rather than discipline students who break the rules, the school district says it plans to do what it does best. Teach them.
Absolutely. We have all the confidence that the kids will be able to learn, but it will be something that will have to be taught.
After phase one starts on Tuesday, SISD is set to bring its second round of students back to the classroom less than a week later on September 14th. From Far East El Paso, Keenan Willard, KFOX 14 News at 9.
So, Rene, that happened. You remember it was the laptop ordeal. Now, that's where I had a conversation with Pablo and I said, let's do this. I remember telling you, we're going to do it. This is going to be it. I'm tired. They shared Lujan Chavez, which is a great school. But the kids that don't have the internet, where do they live?
Down here in Socorro.
Exactly. They live in Socorro. They live in the valley. That's what we're talking about today. How we came along and why there's a fight and everything. Now, we come along, we start the podcast, but as soon as we start the podcast, you know, we have somebody who comes in and says, hey, what happened here? What's going on here? And that's where we start talking about what's going on. They said they're bringing people back because there is no internet, there is no Wi-Fi, they have no laptops. But everybody says that there is. Everybody's talking about, everybody who should have a laptop does. That's what we're told. Let me show you a tweet real quick. I'm gonna show you a tweet. Can you read that, Rene? Can you see that? It says, did you know in 2015, hashtag Team SISD launched Operation Future Ready to expand digital learning opportunities for students, staff, and the last 2 years, SISD has invested $22 million in laptops, tablets for all 47,000 plus students to have access to a personal mobile tech device. Now, Rene, we've had this conversation a lot. We've said it where you had to go buy laptops, desks, Wi-Fi, upgrade your Wi-Fi. You're a business owner. You have better than, not that better, but your means are a little higher than everybody else here in Socorro, as I as well would have the ability to buy my daughter a laptop if she needed it. But not everybody does. And what Socorro tried to do was send the kids back in September before any other school did. There was a lot of times where like, we're ready, they're ready, they're ready, they're ready. And we didn't go back to January. Four months later. Nobody helped us out. The kids didn't have laptops. The kids didn't have Wi-Fi. Who does that fall on?
On the school. You know, I'm gonna say this. you know, I understand that there was a shortage of laptops to be purchased, and I want to say it as clear as possible. I don't knock the superintendent or the school district as a whole for the lack of laptops. And I want to quantify my saying this. The reason why I don't is because the pandemic hit and other districts in the county were also looking for laptops at the same time.
Right.
So I don't blame them for that.
Okay.
Okay. I don't. I really don't. But I do blame them because of the text that they said. They, for the last past 2 years before the coronavirus hit,
yes,
they already purchased this and should have gotten all across the board. So the shortage shouldn't have affected them. Therefore, somebody lied. Somebody lied. There was a shortage because not everybody in the district, the 47,000 laptops that they said that they had already purchased within 2 years, you know, that was a blatant fallacy, a lie for people to understand me, a lie. And that's where I do draw the line and say, it is your fault because you gave us an understanding that you guys did already work and were already equipped.
Right.
For this situation.
Exactly. You're exactly right. You're on point. This is Gary Gandaras, El Paso Times response. And if you want to go, it's number 13 in the El Paso Times. Google it. You'll find it. El Paso Times questionnaire. The question is, how do you think SISD has handled learning during a pandemic in terms of face-to-face to versus remote learning? How do you balance safety and quality of education? For everyone, this pandemic came when we least expected it. Nobody was ready. And yet, I believe SISD handles the best as they could, starting with a superintendent, principals, teachers, custodians, and all the other departments and support staff. SISD managed to jump in as a team to be able to provide the learning from the students, remotely, and then attempted face-to-face, which was also a success. Teachers adapted the growth mindset and always continue to face challenges with positive thinking. SISD, to ensure safety first, continued to achieve their goals. Electronic devices, as well as personal hotspots, were distributed among all community members. Before the pandemic, enrollment at SISD was 46,000. 21,400 of those students had laptops issued to them. So he's not lying. They only had 50%. Less than 50%. You're talking about 48%. And based on online registration data, 5,000 more devices were issued to the economic disadvantaged across the district by September 20. 100% of all the students and teachers had electronic devices. This is a team effort. Rene, I'm not a mathematician, but 21,400 plus 5,000 only equals 26,400?
That's right. Somebody needs to go back to school.
Oh, goodness my.
I'm going to say this, you know, if I call a city rep dumb and stupid, you know, this is in the same category. It's dumb and stupid to say that 21,400 students, that's less than half, got laptops. And then we gave an additional 5,000 and we're up to 100%. I mean, the math isn't there. Even my 11-year-old son can do that math and figure out that, you know, you're not near 100%. And it's unfortunately that that when you're out there and you're doing all of these interviews,
they let you get away with
the what?
They let you get away with it. They don't push you back.
Yeah, they don't fact check you. They don't, and it's at the heat of the moment. You know, once you do an interview, you know, you hear it. We hear it in council too. we hear it in council all the time where they say some lies and we have to correct them. Unfortunately, you know, I will say this. I had the means to buy my children desks, chairs, lamps. I got my son a laptop because he didn't get one. My daughter did. But I had to get her a desk as well with chairs, lights, the whole works, because I could, you know, I'm one of the fortunate here in the city of Socorro that can and had the means. But you know, we all got hurt. We all got devastated with the pandemic. The schools weren't any different, but they should have been very well prepared when you have a statement like Dr. Espinosa said that, oh yeah, for the past 2 years, you know, it goes back to the same thing. That's where I draw the line. That's where I call bull crap. You need to be accountable for all of this, you know. Every fallacy you come up and say, you know, you have to be called to attention and say, hey, you know what, your numbers, your stats they don't pan out. So, you know, as a parent, as we parents, we didn't have a voice. And that's why, you know, like you touched on it a little bit is, you know, that's why you created the channel so that we can go ahead and voice our concerns. And we wanted people to come out and vote on these elections, school board elections. Because what people don't realize is that Socorro only has almost an $11 million budget. Right. But yet the Socorro School Independent District has more than $200,000. I mean, $200 million. I think it's like $300 million on their budget, somewhere along the lines there. Don't quote me, but I know it's more than $200 million. That's for sure. I mean, that's a lot of money. And nobody really holds them to task to say, hey, where's the implementations? You know, we should be better prepared, you know, and that's where I feel that, you know, we're not being represented down here in the south of the freeway.
And I'm going to go back to it. It says by September 2020, 100% of all students and teachers had electronic devices. And that's not true, because That's the reason we started the podcast, because what we saw before was KFOX, where they said they needed to go back because they didn't have electronic devices. So somebody's lying, but we bring the receipts right here. So let's look at this now and the start of something. Let's see if we can get it here. I'm gonna stop sharing that. Let me see here. A lot of technical stuff today. If I can get it, that'd be super. Sorry, guys. A lot of technical issues. I don't know why. It doesn't let me. So I'll refresh it real quick. And what I'm going to show you now is the start of something. This is September 4th. Okay. Remember that Mr. Gandara said that everybody was 100% by September. KFOX just debunked that. And now Channel 9 is going to debunk it as well. And we're going to see this right now. If I can not do that. What am I doing? Sorry, guys.
Miles, every week, do you?
So that's what's happening now. We're going to see now. So September, everybody has a laptop. That's what we're told. Okay. Now I'm going to present to you what we should have.
Students return to school for in-person learning next week. Good afternoon, I'm Daniel Money.
And I'm Natasha Paloma. Parents tell KTSN they feel it will be...
Okay.
KTSN 9 News reporter Shelby Kapp is live from Socorro with a look at families having to make the decision whether or not.
Next Tuesday, some students will walk into this elementary school and others. Those will be the students that will be coming back first or those who do not have a computer or access to internet. And some families telling me they feel there's an inequality for low-income students in Socorro.
He's not forcing them to go to school. They're saying, you have the option if you want to go back. Well, but if you don't have a device and you don't have the technology to do the work from school, from home, therefore, you're being forced to go back to school.
This is in the Socorro Independent School District, saying because all four children have either a laptop or iPhone for the remainder of the year, but say not everyone is as fortunate.
They know that the kids need an education, and without a device, they cannot have an education.
Emily, which one computer for both kids, but they are in different grades and cannot share during the day.
Pues no, esto no es posible.
It's impossible because they are both in different grades. They are struggling very much. One of them is even using the cell phone to do schoolwork.
Despite this family struggles, the grandma says she is not going to send the children back to school, even though those without devices are allowed to return next week, saying it's not worth the risk.
Pues esto todavía no va a ser posible.
I don't think it's a good idea for them to go back until the pandemic is under control. And then we make a choice if yes or no.
SISD sending KTSM this statement, reading in part, quote, while our district has already provided devices for the vast majority of families in need, we are continuing to work as fast as we can to obtain additional devices with the goal of providing all students with an electronic device. SISD says those students who do not have devices or access to internet will have the option to return to school, be provided with a computer and internet access to do remote learning on September 8th, which is next Tuesday. Reporting live in Socorro, Shelly Kapp, KTSM 9 News.
So that was that. Renee, is the vast majority 100% of people having electronic devices?
No.
No. Simple. Mr. Gandara lied. Did he lie or is it just me?
No, he lied.
He lied. He said by September 2020, everybody had a device. And it's not true. It's not true. The district said the vast majority. Now, there was districts, I know, there was districts reaching out and saying, we'll give you some devices. We have extras. We'll give you some devices. No. They said no. Might be wrong. I've been wrong before. But we're not wrong about this. Mr. Espinosa said they spent $22 million on devices from 2015. We're in 2020. That's 5 years. And we still don't have all those devices. Where is that money? Mr. Gandara said in September 2020, 100% of the kids had devices. This says different. What we just showed you says different. What's going on? Where is the money? And do we need to change their name?
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, nobody does anything. And that's why you started this, so that we can have a voice, a cohesive voice at that, and to fight for people down here south of the border. We are left alone to fend for ourselves. The children are at no fault whatsoever. Their parents, you know, get whatever jobs they can, try to provide as best as they can, and have no fault of their own. They don't have the financial capabilities to get internet, let alone buy a $1,000, you know, $800, you know, Surface Pro.
Right.
You know, those are the issues that most of the families down here face.
Right.
And if they're having issues, then they don't want to bring them to light, because what do we know that what Hispanics families do? We don't argue. We don't fight. We don't make waves.
No.
We're tired of that. And we want people to wake up and say, you know what? Let's go. Let's fight. You know, we're tired of being a second rate students down here, lower down south of the of I-10.
Right. And that's where we're today is the first day of early voting. And our alumni, Pablo Barrera, is running against Gary Gandara, and we're here to prove what's been happening. And I saw a lot of things where he says he's fine, everything's fine for the past 11 years, everything is fine. It's not fine. And the pandemic exploded that in our face. Like the coffee that I was messing around with this weekend exploded in my face. And those are things that we got to be, if you don't fight, if you don't raise truth to power, then you're going to get what you get. Okay. And I'll tell you a conversation we had, Mr. Paul Guerra called me this week, which is fine because I love when people call me and they say, well, you know, you said this. Now, Rene, we need to go back and recheck. So he didn't deny that happened. He just said that he didn't point at me. He's technically right. He's like me. See what I'm doing? I'm talking with my hands. He talks with his hands also. So we came to an agreement. We didn't talk, but he did say that the citizens of Socorro did not want that ninth grade center or something to that effect. He didn't point at me. It wasn't a direct conversation. So that was, I apologized. I said, hey, you know what? You're right. We didn't have a conversation. And that's what I agreed to. Now, Rene, me and you have been talking about what happened to the ninth grade center. Okay? The ninth grade center is like a mythical unicorn. Did it happen? Did it not happen? Who was in office then? You know, those are things that we're going to have to find out because we should have a ninth grade center that would have turned into a new Socorro High School, just like everywhere else. Pebble Hills was a ninth grade center for El Dorado, and then it exploded. East Lake was a ninth grade center, I believe, and then it exploded. And that's fine. That's great. But why didn't Socorro get a ninth grade center before? That's where we're at right now, and we're going to further investigate. He also said that we said something about SISD supporting charter schools, which they don't. What I said was Espinosa is a really good friend with Cabrera. We should look out for that because he is a consultant for charter schools and is getting sued for that reason. So moving on, we have another. What can I say this is? Mr. Gandara talks about transparency. Let's see if this is it. What kind of relationship should the board have with its community and such as parents and advocacy groups? So this is also from the El Paso Times. You can go look it up, Google it, El Paso Times questionnaire, Gary Gandara, District 5, SISD School Board. I believe in transparency and trust is a relationship both the district and the board should continue to have. Communication is key to a successful relationship to both our parents and our community members. Well, we say a lot. And remember what I tell you, watch what they do, not what they say. Okay, Rene, you've had conversations with some of our board members. That happened. Now, we want to make sure that we get everything in here. And I've had conversations or tried to have conversations with school board members. Me and Renee were involved with a program. I think we did it for two, three years before the pandemic hit, Renee, paying the lunches for students.
Yes.
We paid for lunches for students in the school
in Socorro High School. I paid him an ELE. There's a YouTube video on it when we were in office. And we used to do that because that's the right thing to do. A certain school board member did it as well, but no other school board members have done it. And those are things that are like, well, what do we do, you know? So as you can see here, that's it. Can you see that in there?
It's a little off. I can't see the beginning. I can only see where it says with both of you.
Okay,
perfect.
April 8th, 2019. Good morning, gentlemen. I was hoping to set a meeting with both of you separately at your earliest convenience. As you can see here, this is an email from me to Mr. Paul Guerra, 56@gmail.com, which is not an SISD email. So, and the other one is GaryGandara78@gmail.com. So I do get a response from Mr. Guerra. And he does just let me know when. And then I do tell him at the end, thank you for such a quick reply, Mr. Guerra. I'll check my schedule and see what time and dates are best for you, and we can meet in the middle. I believe this was an email talking about the school buses. That's where it was. Mr. Gandara had never reached out back, never talked back, never did this. He says he's for the community. And I hope I can play the PBS YouTube, because it's really bad quality and Pablo doesn't get a fair shake. I did record it from my phone, and if I have it, I'll pass it on later. But Rene, you have dealt with Mr. Guerra. Have you ever dealt with Mr. Gandara?
No. I'm gonna say this. I spoke on widening Rio Vista.
Right.
Okay. You've heard me say that all the time. That is one of the biggest issues, is that we got narrow roads and we widened the bridge. What I'm trying to say is that when we wanted and we were having the issue with the expansion of the Socorro High School. We needed a right away. Okay. Right. And I said it here in the podcast, in that meeting, it was both Paul's. Paul Garcia and Paul Guerra. Who was also invited was Mr. Gandara, because I felt that it was important to have both of our representatives that represent the district down south of I-10. He didn't respond. He didn't show up. But, you know, I was fortunate to have two representatives of the board. Those are the dealings with Mr. Gandara, is that it's very difficult to get a hold of him. I'm saying it as at the time, a city representative. It was very difficult to have that conversation with him, because it was hard to get a hold of him. I can't say that about Mr. Guerra, because Mr. Guerra, every time I picked up the phone and I said, hey, what about this? I need this. We need expansions. What about Sanchez as well, or Rojas, or any of those things? He was always accommodating. He would always pick up the phone. If I wouldn't speak with him or an email, he would always return them. Very promptly. That is one thing I can say about Mr. Guerra, is that he was very, very responsive in a very timely manner. But yeah, Mr. Gandara didn't show up to the meeting. He was invited, but like I said, it's very difficult to get a hold of him. One of the issues that I have is that the word transparency is used very loosely.
Yes.
When I came in 2013, I used it because it needed to be transparent in the city. I just want to just touch on this. Transparency is a vague word, but what I wanted to say is that, you know what, when we came in, people weren't aware. You couldn't see the meetings, stuff like that. We started [S2] Right. [S1] To post them. We started to notify the people. Look at YouTubes. Look at all of those things. So we were transparent. We let people know what we were doing. We created a big board that was placed behind me on the meetings with all of the money that Socorro had and all of the projects and so forth. So transparency was there. People use it as now vaguely, but what transparency are you talking about? People don't really give you a precise answer to that. What is it that you want to be transparent about? You know, those are the issues that I have now with that word.
Right.
And you know, and Mr. Gandara didn't really answer it. It was just, oh, we just got to communicate with the parents like we usually do.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. That's all you got.
Yeah,
that's not being transparent. You know, transparent is, you know, what's going up with these lawsuits or what's going up with, you know, with the issue of the 21 students down here in Socorro. You know, be transparent. You know, this is what we're facing. You know, we got these students. You don't have to say names and stuff or where do they live. Just say, hey, you know what? Four out of the 21 already came back and took the test, or six out of the rest. Something that is being transparent.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know,
that's what I'm trying to say. You people use that word very loosely. It is the nicest word to use. Vaguest crap that you can use. Oh, I'm going to be transparent. You know, elaborate. I wish that more reporters and people who do interviews would really hone in on that and say, what do you mean? Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean transparent? On what?
Right, right. And you're absolutely right. What are we talking about? What is transparency? And like I told you, Mr. Guerra did answer me that one time as well. I was really concerned. Remember the bus thing that you as a at large fought by yourself, because everybody took ownership of that meeting. Everybody took ownership of that meeting. I don't understand. And it wasn't just here in Socorro. It was up on, I think, in America's area as well. And there was a lady, there's a story where a lady picked up everybody in their truck and started driving them down. What in the world? In what world do kids have to get in a pickup truck to go to school? Where you have the most populated district with the most money cutting bus routes. What are we trying to say? What are we trying to do? Yes, let's remember those things. And because everybody's saying, I've been there for 11 years. Well, that's the problem. You've been there for 11 years and you're quite content. Whatever contracts you have with SISD is your business, because it's not illegal, but it is your business, because there's contracts there. And people don't want to let those go. And because those 11 people have been there together, they're like, hey, you know? So moving on, we're going to move on to the forum, the PBS forum. Okay, guys, it's going to be very, very frustrating. Okay. It's going to be frustrating because you know what? It's one of those things that it doesn't let you hear Pablo's words. Okay. So we're going to play this for you. Sal is coming on. Awesome possum. So as soon as he's getting on, I'm going to present this to you. This is the YouTube video, and nothing. And it does hurt because he's the only one that his mic didn't work right. Okay. So he had very good answers. I have it recorded. I promise I'll try to put it back on later. How you doing, Sal?
Doing good, Alex. Trying to get myself going here.
All right, man. So check this out. We're going to play some of the PBS forum for our people.
Finally, I'll speak with the candidates running for District 5, incumbent Gary Gandara and challenger Pablo Barrera. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
My first question for each of you is, why are you the right person to represent District 5 at this time? And Mr. Barrera, I'll start with you.
I know I have that leadership. Talking and getting my community more. I've gotten to know and need more of the needs that they have and that they're requesting. And even prior to this, my wife and I were always involved in the community. Saw a dire need for a lot of other things that they would do. But we went to the chain of command all the way up to the school board. I tried reaching my district rep. I never got an email back. I never got my community member. Follow email, we never got it. But it got to a time where it's like, you know what, we need to make.
And then same question for you.
So Pablo talks about, we just talked about it, Renee. He never got an email back. He never got anybody back. I didn't get an email back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We haven't gotten emails back. We haven't talked. We haven't gotten anything. You know, he talks about how he lives in Socorro and you can find him anywhere. Well, not everybody just wants to go up to a Gandara and say hi. That's another thing. But, you know, I'm very sorry about the audio. It's very bad, guys. It's horrible. But
I don't understand why it's horrible. When I saw it at PBS,
yeah,
it was clear. Both mics, all three mics were great. I don't know why. And it's just astonishing how
it's only very frustrating. One mic. Look, I'm going to play it for you guys. I'm going to play the answer that Pablo gave. And we'll go from there. So let's see if you can hear it. I don't think I can put it right with it, but I'll start presenting real quick. I'll let it there, and then let's see you guys can hear it.
Person to represent District 5 at this time. And Mr. Barrera, I'll start with you.
Yes, I know that I am the perfect candidate for this. We got to lead it into the future. I know I have a leadership trait. You know, talking and getting to know my community more and more, and you know, during this race, I've gotten to know and need more of the needs that they have and that they're requesting. And even prior to this, you know, my wife and I were always involved in the community. And we saw a dire need for school buses, for a lot of other things that they needed. And when we went through the chain of command all the way up to the school board, and I tried reaching my district rep, I never got an email back. I never got a phone call back. And as well as my community members, I said, call them, email. We never got anything back. So it got to a time where it's like, you know what? We need to make change, and we need to be that change for the community, be their voice.
So that's Pablo's reason for it. So we'll come back to it. Let's hear what Mr. Gandara has to say, which has perfect perfect volume, just to let you know. Okay?
For you.
Again, it's a great district that I'm a part of. Again, for the past 11 years, we have a district that's at top of Region 19. One of the best in the state, due to the members that are on the board that have moved and kept moving this district forward. And so again, that's why I feel that being on the school board and staying on the school board is the best for my district. And
what? The question was, what makes you qualified for the school district to be the candidate? Pablo said why, because he advocated, because his representative didn't talk to him, didn't do anything. Mr. Gandara just says it's a good school board. Sal, you saw it. We've seen it a million times. What do you think?
Well, just to
for everybody to know. I mean, Pablo did provide a very, very good response to that. I think it was so good that it kind of threw Gary off his game in the sense, because he really didn't know how to respond back. That was not a appropriate response to the question that he was being asked. And so instead of speaking in something in general, he's in regards to speaking on him on himself, of why he should be a candidate, he spoke volume. So he spoke on everybody else's of, I think he mentioned something about moving the district forward.
Right.
But the question was directed you, not as all. And so that was one of three questions that Mr. Gandara did not really answer the question. So we'll see the other ones, and I'll have a better take on the other ones as we move forward.
Rene, thank you, Sal. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Rene, why didn't he say, I brought a new Socorro High School to the city? That he could have pulled that off. Yes or no? This is the area he represents. I'm just saying, he could have said, I brought Socorro High School. I brought the ninth grade center. I made Menudo Fridays. He could have said anything. He could have said anything. He didn't say anything about himself.
Because he doesn't have accomplishments. That's why. You know, it's totally different when you do. You know, I mean, I can equate to this. If they would have asked me that question, what makes me the best candidate for that position? Well, honestly, you should have said something around the lines like, well, look, I have already proven myself. I brought $500,000 to rebuild the Rio Vista Bridge. I brought, I allocated $1.2 million to do Valera Street. I already paved a street that was nothing but dirt in Fray Holguin. I got all of the owners to contribute almost $1 million of land so that Socorro could save that money and bring Nuevo Hueco tax. Those are accomplishments that I've done, that he should have said, this is my accomplishment. That was an answer for you. We call it a softball per se. It was something that you just hit out of the park and say, these are my accomplishments, so that you can show the parents, the voters, hey, have confidence in me because look at what I've done. And he failed at that.
Let's move on. We'll show you more. And if I can, I will put the audio that deserves the answer for Pablo.
And then kind of our next question is, in the years to come, SISD, like districts across the country, will deal with repercussions from COVID-19 school closures. What concrete measures would you like to see the school board take to remedy COVID-19 learning loss? And I'll start with you.
First and foremost, we need to talk about funding. To combat learning loss, you need the money. And again, right now with charter schools receiving a lot more money than public schools, as we can see with IDEA that has almost $1,400 more per student, is not fair and not equal. So we need to start at the state level to talk to our legislators to combat that and make it an equal playing ground for all schools involved. And again, that's where I think we need to start, is to make it equally paid for each district out there.
You know what, even before pre-pandemic, there was already a lot of need in qualities that were down south in the valley. I noticed the qualities, so I got time to, but they needed help, period. And that the COVID only exacerbated, especially with the 2019 for high school that weren't supposed to graduate. And that was an issue. So now that we're here in pandemic era,
now it's bigger. And so we need to give the teachers that support element that they need, whether it be another aide in the classroom, whatever it is that they need, but also special needs are right now also hurting. A lot of them need that extra support. And now that they're not in class or they haven't been in class, it's going to be much more work than the spend department.
I did want to follow up.
Again, you can hear Pablo. I'm hoping this is the next question that I'm going to put on the audio. Hopefully you can hear it. Let's see. There we go.
Qualities that were down south in the valley, in Socorro especially, I noticed they need qualities. So I got time to, you know what? They needed help, period, before that. And that the COVID only exacerbated and made the situation big, especially with the 29 students down in Socorro, 21 students down in
school,
high school, that we're
supposed to graduate. So now that we're here in the pandemic era, now it's just bigger. And so we need to give the teachers that support element that they need, whether it be another aide in the whatever it is that they need, but also special needs kids are right now also hurting significantly because a lot of them need that extra support. And now that they're not in class or they haven't been in class, it's only made the issue much more worse. So we need to look at that in the SPED department and help them so that we don't allow that grant to go much more bigger.
Jiminy Christmas. One of them says, we need to make sure we support teachers and make sure we close gaps and have programs. That's what I got from Pablo. But what Mr. Gandara said, money, 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 money. Where do we get this money from? It reminds me of South Park. That one time when, you guys see South Park where they say, Magic Johnson, we need more of the magical formula. And they give him money and they start throwing money at him. What's the cure? Money. Money is a cure. That's what I heard. Renee, what did you hear?
The more of the same, you know, it's you know, this was his time to shine. I will say that, you know, Gandara just, I guess he was very unprepared for this. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless, bro.
Sal, Dennis never been speechless, man.
Yeah, so this is another question. I just mentioned right now that there were going to be several questions that he's not answering. So when he responded to this one, it just kind of got me because he starts going off on a rant with charter schools and even playing field. And I think we're talking about COVID. We're talking about how can we provide resources.
Yeah.
So even right now, as we're speaking, we have teachers going back into the classroom with kids transitioning back as well too. And so from my understanding was that there were certain numbers that were supposed to be coming in. And so a lot of, it could possibly be that a lot of parents are wanting for their kids to go back because one, they're tired of them, or second, they can't handle them no more. And so now the teachers, yeah, it's their job. They're educators and somewhat, but they were supposed to have a cap. So if they were supposed to have a cap, we go back into discussing all these paraprofessionals per se, or all these people that are needing jobs. And so then how come we can get aides to help out the teachers that are in the classroom? And so one, Pablo is talking about, you know, teachers helping. He mentions about even, you know, the special education population that they're being affected as well too. So he's talking more about a resource of providing in the classroom versus the other one is talking about charter schools and even the playing field, which I don't think that this teacher really cares about that. They care about what type of help or assistance they could get during these times because they're being thrown curveballs at them.
Yeah.
Just like I said, I mean, they were only told that they were going to get, you know, 5 kids, 6 kids. Now they're 8, and then now there's 10. And And so I don't know where's the limit, where it was going to stop. But at the same time, there's no aids. There's no worst case scenario. I mean, I could give an example. What would happen if one of the teachers couldn't go in because of an illness or something like that? Who's going to be taking care of those kids? If they can't even provide an aid, who's going to be taking care of 10 kids that are in a classroom?
And I'll tell you something, it feels as business as usual in a lot of districts. That's what it feels like. And it's an election season for SISD, and it shouldn't feel as business as usual, but we'll see that. Let's keep going here. Let's see what else Ms. Molly Smith has. Here we go. She says she wants to follow up.
With both of you. I know some districts are kind of making decisions right now about possibly extending next school year, or even saying, hey, let's rethink the curriculum to allow more time for reading and writing and math, kind of those kind of core subjects. Are there specific decisions like this that you think the board should be grappling with, kind of concrete steps they should be taking in terms of decisions they make about what next school year should look like?
Well, again, you need to start with your superintendent and everybody involved, because you need to understand what's really going on. With steps like that, you know, we need to keep implementing the procedures that we have right now, which is providing everything we can with our, you know, providing summer school, providing one more one-on-one learning with these students, going out there and making sure that the needs that they need it are heard and we can somehow take care of it. Because again, due to this pandemic, it was, you know, curveball that came out of nowhere. And again, it was as a team SISD, everybody stepped up to cover what we needed to cover. But right now we need to step up in the fact of the matter of we need to find innovative ways to make sure that we catch up and cover that gap that is coming.
And then same kind of fault.
What does the superintendent have to do with making sure that these kids learn?
You know, my thing, I was writing stuff down. You know, look, I'm going to say this.
What the hell's going
on? One more time. Very unprepared. This was his time to shine. I mean, you give me that opportunity, believe me, man, I would look like I'm the best thing to butter. You know, he said, oh, well, we need to do things. He says, we need to do what we've been doing. It hasn't been working.
Summer school. It hasn't
been working.
No, wait. Summer school.
Yeah.
That's what they have to do is summer school. Summer school is mandatory. Summer school needs to be done if it's an SSI year. Summer school is mandatory. So look, that's nothing new. That's nothing like, oh my God, SISD invented summer school. No, it didn't. Everybody has it.
Look, I don't understand what he says about what's coming, the gap that's coming. You know, that is another thing that is so vague and I don't understand. He's very incoherent. I will say this is look, we know that kids are not getting the proper education. We know that the kids are lacking on reading, writing, and math. That's why she asked for that. Why? Because there's already been studies. There's already been universities looking at this. Is what has this pandemic done to the education system? I know that studies take forever, but you know, when you take per se a roll call on what's going on immediately, you know that kids are losing this whole year. It's like if they never went to school because the remote learning isn't working for everybody, especially in the poor communities. And I'm sorry to say this, but the majority of Socorro is in a poor community. You know, some of us are fortunate to be living in this, but we have the ability to be above a certain means, but the majority of them, and that's what's hurting them. The lack of responsibility to say, look, we need to look at other avenues to try to help the students with the loss of knowledge because of this remote learning. That's what the question is that what are you going to implement? What are you bringing as a district, as a rep, to say, hey, you know what, I believe that we should implement, you know, an extra hour after school or extend.
Well, let me start there. They do have the WIN program, and I'll be very honest with you.
But you can't fit all the students. You can't fit every student in.
No, they can't. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of teachers that I know that these kids are transferring to other districts, and they're like, the WIN program, they're not even, I mean, it's, oh, look, this is my opinion. It's an 8-hour job, okay? Teaching and learning is 8 hours, okay? We ask kids to sit down and listen for 8 hours. I can't sit down and listen for 8 hours. You're asking kids to go there for 10 hours. And that's fine. If you think Saturday school works, if you think the WIN and tutoring work, that's fine. But there has to be something else. It just can't be that. Mm-hmm. We cannot just be asking kids to sit down for 8 hours and say, shut up and listen, because that's what we're asking them to do. Sorry, Danae, go ahead.
No, and that's what I was saying. You can't put them in the WIN program because it's all the from kinder, yep, all the way to 12th grade. You lost this whole year. You know, all that institutional knowledge is gone out the window for this year. And this question should be more along the lines of what I would, as a parent, would want to hear a candidate would be like, hey, you know what? Well, we have to look at what they have lost. Let's try to find, and at least we understand that writing, reading, and math is very important, especially for people that want to move up in a college setting, in a university setting. Those are things that they're basic knowledge,
right?
And you know, it's very hard, you know, especially, you know, I wake up and I say bye to my daughter in the mornings and she's laying down on the bed comfortable. Do you really think she's going to absorb everything you're telling her? No.
Zero.
You know, that's what it is. You know, I bought them a desk, lamps, everything for them to be there. But she only uses it for like when she has to physically do her homework. But when it is her lesson to be heard and to see it, she's in her bed. So you know that once you relax, you ain't going to learn.
So we have a school board trustee that is very blanket. Oh, we can do this. Oh, we can do, but no real solutions. Sal, what do you think?
I wanted to mention that from what I've been seeing, right? District 5 is a very unique district of itself. Mm-hmm. We got the North and we got the South in for that sense. So, I mean, as a board trustee overall, I mean, you are also in a very unique situation where you could see the North has a lot of the resources, but then you could shift or you could focus on the South per se, and maybe you don't need to exhaust so many resources up there because you have plenty over there. So then you could start shifting some of those resources down here in the South. So then you could have a same level playing field, per se. And so, but if you're just dedicating your time or you're just dedicating your efforts up in the North, then you're going to have a very big disbalance in that sense. The last time, and what I'm going with this is that the last time you guys showed me the priorities, how the money was going to be spent on the bonds and stuff like that. And technically, down in the South, that's all we got. We just got the high school. That was it. But can you just imagine if the high school would have not gone through, everything would have gone through to the North. So then, you know, now you got to talk about population. You got to talk about education. And it fits the narrative as well, too. You could have, because right now we're going to hit the dual language, because he makes a smirk. He makes a smirk saying that, you know.
Dude, I showed it to my wife. And let me tell you, she left to go do something. And she called me and said, I don't like what he said, because that's not what it is. And, oh, dude.
Yeah. So I'll probably save it. I'll save it when we get there.
All right, guys. So we're going to wrap up right now, part one, because this is going to be a very long podcast. We're going to end part one, and we're going to come back with part two. We'll see you in a little bit. We'll be all right back.